Well, there you have it. It could be a first, a slideshow on radio. It just shows you, once again, what we've always known about radio. It's the theater of the mind. I enjoyed that slideshow on radio. I don't know about you. As time permits, for those of you who missed last week's program, we're going to go back over some of that material. Keene Jenkins is a real good storyteller, and he tells this one.
Tell him about Car Creek and this tournament in Chicago, and a lot of people, you know, had heard about this team, and somebody, when they came in, they'd already played a couple games and won, and so somebody was talking to one of the players and said, well, how do you like this gymnasium you're playing in, because Car Creek had played on a dirt, you know, outside in a, on a dirt court, and this guy said, oh, it's, said, this is really okay. He said, it's easy to play in here. And they said, what, you mean it's easy to play? He said, yeah, you don't have to gauge a win.
And Keene Jenkins tells about the legendary King Kelly Coleman of Whalen, who was really the star of the 1956 tournament, scored 68 points against Bell County, 50 points in another ball game, 30 points in still another game in that tournament.
I remember that tournament very well. I was there at every game. And I remember a story that someone told later on. I won't mention any names, but Kelly was over at Eastern Kentucky. Mr. McBrayer had invited him over, and they thought he was going to go to school over there. So they had a little two-on-two deal going in the gym over there. And Kelly was paired up with another individual, and they got ready to start while Kelly called his buddy over, and he said, I want to tell you something. He said, what's that? He said, tell you what. He said, you play defense, I'll take care of the shoot. So Kelly, in that game where he got 68 points, several of us were at the state tournament that year, and we hadn't gone to the game. We weren't that crazy about a consolation game, really. We were waiting for the finals. And radio station there at the Springs Motel, came on, and I think Kelly had maybe 40 at the half or something like that. So we all got busy, got in the car, and got over in time to see the second half and watch him score a total of 68. But he had the best timing I believe I've ever seen for a kid that, you know, if he missed a shot or somebody else missed one, he always jumped at exactly the right time to get the ball and put it back in or get the rebound.
To me, he and Richie Farmer were a lot alike. Both of them were scorers, and Richie was not in shape until Patino got a hold of him. But I saw Richie in the LIT, and, I mean, he just scored every way you could possibly score against some real good teams. Whalen Wasp and King Kelly Coleman are sort of legendary, and they really captured the headlines. And Kelly hasn't given interviews down through the years. Here lately, he's given just very short interviews, and you brought it out in your book, and he is saying it as of this year, he is saying. And I don't know, for some reason, this was not the image I had of Kelly Coleman back in the 50s, that he really didn't like all the publicity that he was getting. I mean, he loved to average 47 points a game, which is what he did in 55 and 56. But he really didn't like being called the king, and we're in Lexington, and the leaflets were dropped out of an airplane. So I want you, Don, and I want you, Larry, to tell me about what you remember about Kelly Coleman.
Well, I think everything was exaggerated by his drinking. I don't think there's any doubt that he did some drinking. But people said he'd come and play drunk and score 60 points. That's not true. And you might think that he is not highly intelligent, but his IQ is 140. And he did get a college degree, I believe, at Kentucky Wesleyan. And he taught some in Michigan. And he's back now at Whalen. And I called him and told him we were having a filming, and that a lot of the 56 team boys would be back to the filming. And he said, Don, I'd love to go see those boys again. But he says, for the first time in history, Whalen's having a Labor Day parade, and he's the Grand Marshal. And so he was very, very nice. So I really think that, you know, that he got some flack. And he said, it's in my book I've got where he says that he felt like it hurt him all this publicity, dropping leaflets of King. He had nothing to do with that. He said, I hated that. Everybody would play harder against me. They were coming out with things like that. And
they actually booed him here.
That's what I was leading to. You know, they for some reason, they blamed him for all this, and they booed him in every game he played. And that hurt, even though he wouldn't say too much, that hurt. And so when he lost to Carr Creek, you know, they have a consolation game at that time in 48. Well, he went to his room and said he wasn't going, and I was going to play in that. I think now, I'm not 100% sure, I think his sister went in and talked to him and asked him to please come out and play. And so, because she's about the only one who could talk to him. And he did come out, and of course he scored 68 points against Bell County. And no one will ever break his scoring record because they cut out. Nobody's going to break it in three games. And he's got a record that's going to stand the time, I think.
Larry, I know you couldn't sit around being all googly-eyed about Kelly Coleman. I mean, you had to prepare for a game and everything, but what do you remember about Kelly?
Well, I remember, you know, hearing about Kelly before the state tournament, and we all were housed down at the old Phoenix Hotel, and we had a lunch area where everybody would come in, and you had your own table. Well, that was the first time I think I had seen Kelly in person, and he seemed like a little laid-back, easy-going sort of a person. And on the ball court, the first time I saw him practicing, he'd warm it up. He didn't really look like a ball player to me. He was heavy. But once the game started, you could tell he had some special skills. He was where the ball was, whether it was rebounding or a loose ball or something, he was there to pick it up.
We asked Larry Bronner to tell us about that 1956 Glendale ball club that made it to the state tournament. Larry, I'll ask you, y'all played one and out, did you? Who beat you?
Lex and Lafayette beat us. Yes, we played one and out. We were, I guess it was kind of new to us being at that level of competition. It took us a little while to get going, but the memories of that year and that state tournament are still pretty vivid in my mind.
Who did Glendale have to beat to get to the state tournament?
They beat Adair County in the finals of the regional tournament, and they also had to beat Caverna, which was an overtime game, and they also had to beat Hart Memorial.
Some of the teams that got into the 1956 state tournament, y'all helped me out, but who were some of those teams in there in addition to Glendale and Carr Creek? Of course, we know Whalen was in there. We know Bell County was in there because King Kelly Coleman scored 68 points against Bell County, who had John Brock.
Well, of course, we played Lafayette, which was the Lexington school. Monticello, Allen County, Arlington, Mayfield, Henderson, Valley out of the Louisville area, and of course, Whalen and Carr Creek, Bell County, Olive Hill, Boone County, Shelbyville. Those are the ones that come to mind, and I'm looking at an old program here that helped me remember, but
Central City,
that's right, with Corky Withrow was there. There were some outstanding ball players throughout those teams. I guess I ought to plug my own school a little bit. Glendale's the first time that they had ever been to start the state tournament. They had a school for 50 years. Jimmy Hagan was a tall beanpole type of ball player, and he went on to become the second Legion scorer in the nation when he was a junior at Tennessee Tech. He hadn't played in basketball until he was a junior, and very little there. So we had a good ball team, and we'd like to replay that game again if we could, I think.
Going back to Don Miller, we try to separate myth from fact as far as when the gym was built, how long the outdoor court was used, and that type of thing.
Well, when I was in sixth grade, we didn't have a gymnasium. And we finally got it my senior year. So what we did, we practiced outdoors as long as we could at Carr Creek, like October or maybe even some November. And then we had to practice at Vico 10 miles away. And sometimes we had to walk at least halfway, no bus line. But anyway, on that hillside, this is what he wants. On that hillside, there was one, if the ball got loose, I mean, it was way down there and steep, way down steep. So I had the ball, and I was coming down there dribbling, and my first cousin was over here. He was a forward. Made all safe to that one I did. So I threw him a ball, and it was a good pass. And he acted like he was going to catch it, and the thing went through his hands. And, I mean, I had you run all the way down, pick that ball up, and run all the way back. So after he's done, when the coach wasn't looking, I went over to him, and I said, you never will get a pass from me anymore.
We said Kane Jenkins is a good storyteller, and he is. So is Don Miller. And this is a little rough around the edges, but we're going to go ahead with it. Story about Ernest Sparkman, a longtime broadcaster in Hazard, but he was like the tallest player Car Creek ever produced, and went to the University of Kentucky. Didn't make a particularly good showing at Madison Square Garden, according to Don Miller. He tells a Rupp story.
He played and played quite well. And then they won this in Madison Square Garden. And Ernest J. had messed up three or four times in a row. So Rupp calls timeout. You have to know Rupp for the... He called timeout. The other player sat down. He grabbed Ernest J. by the arm and took him. And he said, you see that circle, Ernest, in the center of that floor? Ernest said, yes. Well, I want you to go there and take a crap so you can go back to Car Creek and tell them you did something in Madison Square Garden.
What an oversight if we got through part two here without having Sue Miller. So here's Sue Miller.
In 1946, I was a freshman at Car Creek, and Mrs. Combs had little twin boys, and she named them Glenn and Lynn. And I was with those kids so often for 4 years. And in July of 1950, after I graduated in May of 1950, I was at Alice Lloyd Community College, then called Caney Creek, and I was notified that Lynn died of leukemia. 1 year later, Mrs. Combs presented Mr. Combs with a little girl that looked exactly like Lynn. And So I say in that book that in July the 11th, 1950, Lynn became an angel.
Sue Watts Miller, you tell me about some of these cheerleaders and the female side of this book.
Well, the cheerleaders I knew when they were little girls because I'm much older than they are. But I found out that two of the five cheerleaders were high school scholars as well as college scholars. They obtained masters and rank ones in their... That was Jane Calhoun that married E.A. Couch, and Christine Reedy Godsey. She married a boy from Perry County, Hazard, Kentucky. And they have raised well-educated children. They've really pushed education. The other girls, the one that stayed home, impressed me a lot. That was Nora Jean Bentley. Nora Jean stayed home. She chose to marry a young man that had transferred in that year, her senior year at Car Creek. They graduated together. He came from Wayland High School. And she stayed home to raise... They had three children, and she raised them there about 1 to 2 miles from the Car Creek Lake. Now, what she did is she got a job as a secretary for the Corps of Engineers that built that lake.
Well, we're going to have to shut it down. We've really enjoyed part two of the interview with Don and Sue Miller of Lexington, formerly of Car Creek, and Larry Bronner and Keene Jenkins, both of Elizabethtown, talking about the 1956 state basketball tournament in Lexington and the Miller's book, The Overtime Kids, about Car Creek winning that tournament. Bronner, a member of the Glendale team that went to the Sweet 16 in 1956. Hope you enjoyed it. That's been Heart of the Matter. I'm Ron Boone.
You've been listening to Heart of the Matter, a weekly community affairs program produced by WIEL.